Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to complete this chapter, and we're going to cover verses 6 through 14. And so, let me prepare the screen for us right up here. And I've entitled this evening's message, Casting All Your Cares Upon Jesus. Casting all your cares upon Jesus. My friends, I'm here to let you know before we start this study that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. There has been many, many wonderful miracles that have taken place that we've seen with our own eyes. We've seen a knee being healed. We've seen diabetes leave. We've seen cancer, stage 3 cancer being healed. Part of the healing rooms. It's a tremendous international ministry that we're involved in at Amazing Grace. I'm here to let you know that God is still blessing His people. This past Sunday, we had a young girl come and give her heart to Christ and being delivered from drugs and alcohol. It's all about the Word. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. This is why it's so important to be in Bible study. It's so important to attend Sunday morning service. Why? So that the preaching of the Word that is included with the Rhema Word, which comes alive, the Word of God becomes alive and illuminates in the hearts and the minds of men and women that need to hear what God is saying to them. So I'm praying that this evening's message will speak to us and casting all your cares upon Jesus. Why? Because He cares for us. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's get to our study this evening and allow the Holy Spirit to have its way. Amen? Here we go. Starting with verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 14, and it reads, Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. This is where I got tonight's topic. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12 through 14. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. So, that's the conclusion of 1 Peter. And next week, by the grace of God, we're going to be starting 2 Peter. So, let's break this down. Let's go to verse 1. Therefore, humble, say that with me at home, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may what? He may exalt you in due time. That He may exalt you in due time. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, because God sets Himself against the proud and shows favor to the humble, Peter admonish the believers to what? To humble themselves. Praise God. And this would be an act of the will. Humility does not come naturally. I hope you know that. Look what I found here in the book of James regarding this. James 4:6. But he gives what? More grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. Praise God. Look what else I found in James 4:7-10. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee you. He will flee from you. Look at that. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Look at that. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, but when the believers humbled themselves under the mighty power of God, they were actually submitting to his care and protection. You see, my friends, Peter reiterated throughout this message that they must humble themselves even in the face of persecution. Why? Because God would honor them. Being honored refers to a reversal of past misfortunes and troubles, my friends. Oh, that's right. Triumph over oppressors and participation in Christ's glory. The honoring may be in this life or in the next. We do not know that other than we're trusting in God. In any case, my friends, it will be in his good timing. That is God's perfect time. And most likely, Peter was thinking of that last day when the head shepherd would appear, praise God. And all those who have faithfully followed would be exalted, given eternal glory. Praise God, praise God. So let's move on now to verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is where I got the topic for this evening. Casting all your care. You see, my friends, this verse explains what it means for believers to humble themselves. It is not negative and reactive. Believers are not abandoned to the arbitrary will of God. No. Rather, it is the positive and active. Give all your worries, all of them, and all your cares to God. Why? For he cares about whatever happens to you. Peter explained that the believers who continue to carry their worries, anxieties, stresses, and daily struggles all by themselves showed that they had not trusted God fully. And that's what happens in the church today. Did you know that God has a mighty plan for you? Listen, some of you may have lost a job. Some of your finances might be dwindling. Some of you might be in poor health. Some of you probably have pain in your body. But I'm here to let you know that God cares for you. And don't be running elsewhere, but run to God first. If he points you to a doctor, praise God. But I'm always looking for a healing from him. Why? Because he created me. I need you to understand one thing. I'm not knocking doctors. I love doctors. God put them there for us. But notice they're called practitioners. What does that mean? They're practicing on us. I'd rather go to our maker who created us. Can I get an amen? Who made us? Praise God, praise God. He's the one that formed and fashioned us. And he created us meticulously and marvelously. There's no error on how God created you and how he created me. We are beautiful in his sight, despite of what anyone else thinks about you. We are beautiful in his sight. But I'm here to let you know that God has a plan. He has a mighty plan. Look what it says right here. I found this right here. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper. Prosper who? Prosper you. Look what else I found in Psalms 121:1-2. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Praise God. Praise God. I found this in John 15:12. Look at this. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. You see, my friends, it takes humility to turn everything literally, throw your anxieties over to God and trust that He cares. Can I get amen? God is not indifferent. He knows what He's doing in our lives. He knows every aspect. He knows every cell and fiber of our being. And sometimes, friends, we think that struggles caused by our own sin and foolishness are not God's concerns. I'm here to correct that. But when you and I, when we turn to God in repentance, especially if we did it to ourselves, He will bear the weight of even of those types of struggles that we encounter, and some of us on a day-to-day basis. You see, my friends, letting God have your anxiety calls for action, not passivity. You see, my friends, don't submit to circumstances, but to the Lord who controls what? All circumstances. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Praise God. You see, Peter wanted the believers facing persecution and suffering to remember to give their troubles to God. Why? Because He cares. He cares. How many believe that He cares? Oh, that's right. I'm so blessed that He cares about you, and I'm so blessed that He cares about me. You know why? Because all we have to do is cry out to Him in the time of need. How many of you have cried out in the time of your need? And I love this old cliche. He may not be there when you want Him, but He's always right on time. He's a right on time God. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. When you're down to your last penny, here comes a white envelope, and here comes some money your way. Oh, praise God. I've seen people receive grocery bags in front of their doorstep. Who dropped them off? Angels. And when I mean angels, it could be typically a real angel, or He just places it on people's heart to bless you. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. I need you to let that sink in for a moment, saints of God, because there's a real devil. Can I get an amen? There's a real devil. And saints, at the same time that believers can cast all their cares on God, they must still be careful and watch. Can I get an amen? Because we are in the army of God. And as soldiers, as they wait and watch, so us believers, my friends, must be constantly alert for the enemy. All of the persecution of facing believers ultimately comes down to one source. Oh, Slewfoot, the devil, our greatest enemy. He's our greatest enemy. The devil has other names, Satan, Accuser, Beelzebub. But he is the source of all evil in the world. And he hates God and is God's arch enemy. Oh, yes, he is. And thus, saints of God, he also hates God's people. You know, Satan hates you and I. Why? Because we're created in the image and likeness of God. God created us in His image. And because He created us in His image, Satan hates it, because he was cast out of heaven for his pride. Oh, that's right. And while Satan has no power against God, my friends, you need to understand this, he does what he can to harm God's people. Oh, yes, he does. Peter described him as a prowling, roaring type of lion looking for some victim to devour. Oh, that's right. Especially the young saints that get saved. You see, lions, they attack sick, young, or straggling animals. And they choose victims who are alone or not alert. That's what he does. You see, the lion prowls quietly, watching and waiting, suddenly pouncing when their victims least suspect it. Peter warned believers to be alert for Satan, especially in times of suffering and persecution. For he walks up and down the earth, seeking whom he or his demons can attack and defeat. Oh, that's right. That's right. Look what I found here in the Word of God in Job 1:7. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said this, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it." So that lets us know Satan and his dominions are here on this earth, and they have access to heaven as well. Wow. Look at that. Look what else I found in Mark In Mark 1, 23 through 26, look at this. Now there was a man in their synagogue. Synagogue is a type of church with an unclean spirit. Look at this. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" See, the demons know who Jesus is. "Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Let me just pause there for a moment. My friends, the Holy Ghost living inside you, the Holy Ghost living inside me, the demons know, because we're marked. That's the mark. The power of the Holy Spirit living in us. The demons see that. And so they could never take us out, but they can sure buffet us. They can touch your flesh. Well, we know that in Scripture, because God allowed Satan to touch Job, but not to take his life. See, only God can take life. And so, wow, these demons are real. What do? They come to entice. They come to oppress. They come to bring depression. They come to bring anxiety and fear. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. And so you must understand the power of God. Let's finish off this verse of Scripture right up here. And it says, "I know you are the Holy One of God." Look at this. In verse 25, "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.'" Listen, I can't wait till that movie comes out. It's called Come Out in Jesus' Name. We went and saw it. And it's about Satan causing havoc in the time that we live in, the culture that we live in today. He is on a rampart. I'm telling you, he has been unleashed from hell. And look how dark our culture is getting. That's all the work of the demonic forces at work. But I'm here to let you know that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Praise God. If God be for you, who can be against you? All we have to do is bind and rebuke Satan and say, "Come out in the name of Jesus." We need to be men and women of faith. We need to believe what Mark 16:16 says, the Great Commission. And the first thing that Jesus gave us a commission to do is to rebuke the devil and watch them being cast out of folks. Oh, that's right. 70% of Jesus' ministry was binding the devil. Praise God. And we have to do that on this earth. We cannot be passive and lay back. No, we got to be proactive. Can I get an amen? Our brothers and sisters need us, those who are strong in the power of his might, that we would lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, that we would bind and rebuke Satan, that we would give a word of knowledge, give a word of wisdom, help somebody grow in their faith. Praise God. Counsel them in the righteousness of Christ. My goodness. Let's go back to this. Look at this. He said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. They're not going to go quiet. They're going to go kicking and screaming and yelling. Oh, that's right, saints of God. We're living, Paul said it best. He said the invisible world is more vast than the world that we can see with our natural eye. Praise God, praise God. Look at what else I found that we need to do, saints of God. "For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities." Look at that. "Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is why we need the armor of God. How many believe at home we need the armor of God? We need the helmet of salvation. Praise God. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need the shield of faith. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need the belt of truth. We need our feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. Saints, if we armor up every day, we will be victorious every day. Praise God. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, my friends, when believers feel alone, weak, helpless, and cut off from other believers, they can become so focused on their troubles that they forget to watch for danger. Oh, that's right. They go into a pity party. Oh, woe is me. No, shake that off. Rebuke that. Say, I'm a child of the living God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that would rise up against me, God will condemn in judgment. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. For he is worthy to be praised. You see, my friends, in those times, believers are especially vulnerable to Satan's attacks, which come in various forms, often at a person's weakest spot. And being tempted, or they're dealing with fear and loneliness and worry and depression and even persecution. Therefore, Peter and Paul urge the believers to be alert for Satan's tricks. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's move on now to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. Look at this. Here's the key. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood. Where? In the world. In the world. That's right. Our brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing all types of persecution and suffering. You see, my friends, James wrote that if the believers resisted the devil, he would flee from them. That's right. Let's read that again. Look at this. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, don't entertain those porno images. Men, get off that porno. Some women do too. Stay out of the clubs. Get all the occult movies out of your home. Why? Because there's spirits that follow that. That's right. Because they're Luciferians. They're Satan worshipers. Be mindful. Be careful what you allow to hear, see, and also say. Praise God. Why? Because God loves us. And he wants us to prosper in him. He wants the best for your life. Can I get amen? And so, my friends, once you and I have identified the devil as our enemy, we need to understand who he is and how he operates in order to effectively take a firm, firm stand against him. Praise God. You see, my friends, Satan is the leader of the angelic beings who revolted against God and were banished from heaven. And his primary purpose now is to separate people from God, destined for destruction. Satan wants to take as much of creation with him as he possibly can. That's right. So you and I, saints of God, we desperately need God's grace because we are locked in mortal combat with a superior enemy. We need God's help to resist this enemy who is called Satan. And the best way for believers to take a firm stand is to be strong in their faith. Can I get an amen? This means trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already defeated Satan and will ultimately destroy him. Oh, that's right. You see, Paul described the armor of God that believers must wear in Ephesians. Oh, that's right. Let's look at it. I just shared this with you. But look at this. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor, that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. That's trickery of the devil. Praise God. For we do not what? Wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Look at this. Therefore, take up the whole armor, not some. The whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, my friends. Look at this. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Praise God. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Not for some, for all saints. Praise God. You see, my friends, These believers were encouraged also to remember that they were not alone in their suffering. Other Christians scattered all over the world were suffering for their faith. Praise God. And this fact should give them strength. You and I need to be strengthened every day by God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of this, of course, was under God's control, praise God, and was accomplishing his purposes in your life and my life, praise God. Let's move on to the next verse. We're looking at two verses here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It says, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, did you catch that? His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. I love this verse of scripture because we're called to an eternal, eternal glory. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, when we are suffering, we often feel as though our pain will never end. How many have been there? Yes. Peter gave these faithful Christians the wider perspective. In comparison with eternity, their suffering would last only a little while. And some of Peter's readers, my friends, would be strengthened and delivered in their own lifetimes. Praise God. Others would be released from their suffering through death. I get that. We get that. We've had loved ones pass on. And after that time of suffering, saints, God promises to restore, set what has gone wrong, put in order, complete support by admonition and guidance by the Lord Jesus Christ to strengthen us, to give us courage no matter what happens and place you and I on a firm foundation built on a rock, therefore being immovable. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, while their suffering will only be for a little while, your suffering, my suffering, our glory in Christ will be eternal. Praise God. In this life or in death, God's purposes will be accomplished and his promises to believers will be fulfilled. Oh, that's right. Be fulfilled. Why? Because believers have been called to God's eternal glory. Praise God. And God himself called. This was his initiative. He will do as he promised because all power is his forever. Praise God. Praise God. Forever and forever and forever. Amen and amen. Let's move on to verse 12 in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it reads, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Silas apparently served as the secretary to Peter, writing this letter as Peter dictated it. He may have been, who knows? He may then have carried this letter to the churches of Asia Minor. We don't know for certain, but that letter got around to us 2,000 years later. Amen. Praise God. And more likely, he took it to the first church from which it was sent along by messengers from one church to another. Praise God. Or perhaps along the route that was implied. Silas was a faithful brother to Peter and to other church leaders as well. Silas was one of the men chosen to deliver the letter from Jerusalem Council to the church at Antioch. Praise God. We see this right here. Look at this in Acts 15:22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Praise God for brother Silas. Praise God. You see, saints, he accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey and was mentioned by Paul in the salutation of many letters in Thessalonians. Like this one right up here. Look at this. Paul, look how he mentions people. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul remembers these wonderful people that were with him, that served with him Look at this in 2 Thessalonians. Paul, there we go, Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 1:19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me. And look at this. Here's Silvanus and Timothy. Was not yet and no, but in him was yes. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, Peter described the reason for his brief letter to encourage believers and to assure them that the grace of God would be with them no matter what happened. Grace would help them stand fast. And by standing fast, they would receive the reward of that grace and the glory with Christ. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 5. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. All these wonderful people are mentioned in Peter's letters. You see, saints, Peter was in Rome when he wrote this letter and was sending greetings from the church there. Saints Mark, also called John Mark, was known to many of his letters and the readers because he had what? Traveled widely and was recognized as a leader in the church. Saints, Mark was probably with the disciples at the time of Jesus' arrest. Mark knew Peter well, and Peter looked on him as a son, a close associate in Christ's service. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, tradition holds that Peter was Mark's main source of information when Mark wrote this gospel. Praise God. Paul had mentioned that Mark was with him at an earlier time in Rome. So it is likely that he returned and there at one time and was with Peter at the writing of this letter. Praise God, praise God. We've got two more verses. Actually, this is the last verse to break down. Let me correct that. And it is found in verse 14. Look at this. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. And he says, amen and amen. You see, my friends, Peter wanted his readers to express their Christian love to one another, for they would need each other for strength in the days that were ahead of him. Oh, that's right. Thus, Peter ended as he began with peace. Peter's final words, peace be to all, underscore what was most needed by the Christians, peace in the middle of turmoil. They could not count on worldly peace, and neither can we, saints, for it was not to be. Instead, they would find peace within by resting in God's grace, and only those who are in Christ can have such great peace. My friends, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming very, very, very soon, and we need to be about our Father's business. How many believe that we're in the times that Jesus said in Matthew 24, that we're in the last days? Oh, yes. Everything's converging. Everything that he spoke of. The time frame of Israel coming back to the land has come to pass. The next greatest event that's going to take place is going to be the rapture of the church. My question is, are you ready? And the only way to be ready is to have been repented of your sins and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then being filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's no other which way, ands or buts. There's only one way to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's through a heart of repentance. I'm praying that if you logged in this evening, maybe for the first time, second time, third time, I don't know. And maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. This has been an appointed time for you, a divine appointment. And I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged in with me that we would pray for you. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, this would be the time to do so. So I'm asking that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer of faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Listen, someone just got saved. And if you got saved, look at down below is our banner. Log on to our website. There you'll find our email and phone number. Reach out to us. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to help you grow the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that we do as a generous gift. It's a love gift from us to you, putting a brand new Bible in your hand if you don't have a Bible. And also down below, as you can see, we've been so blessed by many of you that have contributed to our ministry. Maybe you've never done that yet. I'm going to encourage you to do so and be blessed with that heart of giving unto the Lord. For as you can see down below, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time to sign off, and we're going to be starting next Wednesday, by the grace of God, a brand new book, 2 Peter, and we'll be in chapter 1. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we leave you this benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. My friends, it's time to say good evening and good night. And we thank and praise God for you logging in. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Once again, we're going to have Julia come in and sing, and also a guest musician named Caleb. We're looking forward. He's a guitar player. I heard he has a wonderful voice. And so we're looking forward to all that this Sunday morning at 10. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah, we give you the praise.